Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, with great joy we gather in your name, and Lord, I just pray that we would receive from you as you speak to us once again through one of the prayers in the Bible, and then we would apply that and we would pray as you would lead us by your Spirit to pray. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought we would just begin by what a friend we have in Jesus. Does that sound okay? What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen to that. Last week we had that great prayer in the book of Ezra. And now we turn about two pages and we have another great prayer from Nehemiah. We turn about 14 years forward in time. And one of the things that was amazing last week in that prayer was Ezra recognized why he had been called to Jerusalem. Because upon his arrival, he finds this huge problem of intermarriage with the pagans. And so he goes to prayer and fasting, which is very similar to today's prayer. And there was just great action, because while he was doing this, a crowd gathered. And they kind of spontaneously then broke into, let's do a covenant, let's take care of this, let's get rid of this problem. And it was bang, 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 right? And I like bang, bang, bang prayers, like, you know, answer, answer, answer. But today we have quite another prayer. We've got a prayer that there really won't be answered for 4 months. Now, when do you think your faith is the strongest? When you're doing the action, when you're really out there with the enemy fighting, or does it take more faith to wait for that right time? I think today we'll see once again, God works when you got the right person, when you have the right place, when you have the right time. And if you don't have all those three together, it's not going to work. So what can we learn from this? Well, we see here much different situation today with regard to the place. Nehemiah hears this report from his brother who's come back from Jerusalem, and he had a bad report in a sense. He says what? They're in reproach, great distress. These people who went back a little earlier. The wall of the Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Now, think about Nehemiah for just a moment of what you know about him. He is one of the cupbearers of the strongest man in the world. That is a very desired position. It's a very cushy position. He's not out sleeping in the freezing rain or anything. He's in the king's palace. Of course, he's eating well. You want to keep your cupbearer healthy, right? And now here's his problem. He's a cupbearer. And the obvious question is, what can I do? As we sit here this morning, and you look at all the problems and this various thing in the world, what can I do? He had no credentials. He wasn't an engineer. How is he going to build a wall? How is he going to restore all this broken down stuff? And it's almost 1,000 miles away. I can't even get there. Besides, I'm a captive here. I'm a slave in a foreign land. I don't even have the ability to go back there. So what can I do? Well, we see what he can do. He can pray. So he starts to pray and he starts to fast. Now, first of all, we notice something very interesting here in verse 4. It says, "So it was when I heard these words." For you to have to be used by the Lord, you've got to listen, right? When you hear these things or you see these things, do you really hear them? But he heard. And it really touched him greatly. Touched him greatly so that he couldn't even stand up. "I sat down and wept." You know, I think weeping is a whole nother level of communication. If you look at the weepings in the Bible, you'll find quite an interesting study on weeping. "He wept and he mourned for many days. He was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." I don't know how many of you put stopwatches on your prayers. I hope you don't. But many of us, I think, we might say, "Well, I wake up in the morning, I got 5 or 10 or 16 or 25 or however many forest fires going on today. I just got to get to these. I got to get to these. Well, I better pray. Oh, I did that in 30 seconds. I got my prayers done in 30 seconds today. Wow, that's a record." Well, how many of those forest fires do you think you'll leave with the Lord at that point? Probably none, right? We have to spend some time with the Lord. We can't just, you know, too quickly get in and out. So here we see him praying to the God of heaven and fasting. And here's his prayer, a beautiful address. Notice this address is so important in our prayers. "Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments." Now that doesn't sound to me like a man in heavy mourning and tears, but it is, isn't it? Jesus said in the model prayer to us, we pray what? "Our Father." And then this awesome 3 or 4 words, "Who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Awesome to start out with the address, and awesome to think about who you're praying to, right? Who we're praying to. So here he says, good address, "Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant." He's already setting the position of claiming God's promises in his prayer, which is so important. When you claim a promise of God that he has promised in your word as it applies to you, that's a very powerful position for prayer. So he's claiming that already. He's already saying, in a sense, "You're faithful, Lord, you keep your covenant." Isn't that great? I know a number of you have said how thankful we are that we serve a covenant-keeping God. That's the only case in the time of the world where that happens, isn't it? Do you know anybody that always keeps their covenant? I don't. I'd like to, but I don't. But God does. He keeps his covenant and mercy, hesed, the mercy. Interesting, he puts mercy right alongside the covenant. He keeps his mercy with those who love him and observe. Remember that word observe means hear and inclined to do his commandments. So he's standing as he should stand now on the promises of God, or claiming them anyway here. And then he requests, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you day and night. Wow. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins. Notice we get right into humility and confession here. Confess the sins of the people of Israel, which again, we, he doesn't say which they, those lousy guys have done, which we have done. And he adds, we have sinned against you. We have both my father's house and I have sinned. And we mentioned that last week. When your prayers for others are like your own prayers, you really are getting to a position of really praying in the right way for other people, right? It's not, I pray for them and their sin and blah, 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 it's all their problem. Yeah, true. But if you look at it as your sin as well, it's all of a sudden you're more in their shoes and it's much more powerful, it seems to me. Which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. And now he's confessing, we have what? Acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances. He's talking about the whole law, the whole scripture, everything here. We have not kept any of it, really. And isn't that pretty true for us as well? I think so. Which you commanded Moses. And now this great word, which we have eight times in this book, remember, 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 I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses. He's standing on a promise here. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. And he has. We've been in Babylon, coming back. But, I love the word but when things are going bad. But, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. So here he's claiming those promises. And now he gets into the prayer. Finally, we've had what, eight verses, and now we have really the prayer. I just wonder how my prayers are. My prayers are the other way. I have one verse of a quick introduction, and I have eight verses of petition, right? Give me this, give me that, give me something else. So self-centered. I think one of the problems we have to really be concerned about, in a way, is the tendency in the church in general today to go from exalting God to exalting us, exalting man, isn't it? Just look at the praise music and so forth, how much there is of exalting self. The old days, old days, it was much more of exalting God, exalting God. So what is your position in your prayer life? Is it self-exaltation, self-gratification, so to speak, getting your problems taken care of? That's certainly part of it, but is it also exalting Him, honoring Him? So he says, Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, King Artaxerxes, the strongest man in the world. That's his prayer, for I was the king's cupbearer. So notice here then, what we have, we will not have this prayer answered for 4 months. Takes a lot of faith to wait. But know one thing. If you're waiting on the Lord and you're ready to go, obedient to whatever He gives you, He's working. He's working. He's working. And so I think in some cases, that's the greatest faith when you have to wait. Now, I don't know where your personality is. But again, right person, right place, right time. Some of us are on the edge of, I can't wait, right? Let's say you got a ministry going and there's another ministry comes up and automatically you, I can't wait to get to that new ministry. Are you on that side of it? Or are you on the other side of it? Well, I'm comfortable here being a cupbearer. I don't want to go over there, that cold place, 1,000-mile donkey ride. Are you kidding me? Are we just waiting? And we got to get a fire built under us, you know? But we want to be in the right place, right? We want to be willing and ready, but we don't want to. And how do you look at heaven right now? Can you hardly wait to get there? I hope so, but are you so anxious to get there you don't really care what's going on here? I only want one thing, and that's to get to heaven. I don't care about all the unsaved people or anything else. I just want to go to heaven. That's not the right way. Or the other way says, oh, I want to hang on here. I certainly don't want to die. I don't want to take my last breath. Oh, anything but that last breath, Lord. Keep me alive, keep me alive. That's not the right side either, is it? So we want that timing. It's his timing. And so here Nehemiah is praying, and now he's going to wait, and then it's going to unfold. He's then going to get full approval from the strongest man in the world to go back there. And we'll get, as we go on through, there's 12 prayers in this book. He's a man of prayer. We'll look at three of them as we go through it. But we'll see God does an amazing work through him, as you know. He's going to rebuild this wall, which for 150 years they couldn't get done. He's going to build it in 52 days. 52 days. Had no degree in engineering. He had no cranes or bulldozers. And if you go to Israel today, if you go to Jerusalem today, you can still see the Nehemiah wall, which is unearthed in parts of it. And man, it's as wide as this room, about the wide as this room. It's a huge, wide wall. I mean, it's not just, you know, one tier of 6-inch concrete blocks going up, or, you know, they weren't concrete in those days, I guess, but it's amazing thing. What one man with a heart to do what God has for him to do and to wait on the Lord to get it done at the Lord's timing, and then a record of 52 days, even that time was so short that even the opponents of God knew that it had to be of God, right? Because it couldn't be done otherwise. Well, that brings us up to time to pray now, and we want to pray for the Lord's timing to be our timing, and not the other way around, our timing to be the Lord's timing, and our heart to be the Lord's heart for us to stand on his promises as well. So, Father, we thank you for this great prayer this morning, and help us, lead us in this time of prayer now as a group, as we take things to you that you put on our heart, led by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that we can gather to pray. We thank you that we can gather to exalt your name and to give you all glory. And to you be the glory, Lord. And may we honor you today with our whole heart. And may we be available, even with a heart as Nehemiah might say, what can I do? And Lord, we know the answer comes back. Well, you can pray and you can be available and you can trust in me is what you would say, Lord, I believe. And so we want to do exactly that. Bless each one because they came, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.